We have before us in God's holy word those wonderful words of life. They may not always appear that way to us. When God gave his word through Moses, many of the Israelites hated it. When God gave it through other prophets, they stoned them and killed them. When he gave his word through the Lord Jesus Christ, they crucified him. And all of the apostles who spoke and wrote God's word were killed, except for the Apostle John. When we read here in Romans chapter 1, particularly the last part of this chapter, the second chapter, and the first part of the third chapter, it is a description of sinners. It is not something that we like to hear for ourselves, but it is God's wonderful words of life. We read in the book of Acts how that after Paul had been to Cornelius, and he rehearsed this before the other people, they concluded that God had then granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. In these words, God is calling us to repentance, and it certainly is a repentance unto life. Listen to what Paul writes after he writes this first chapter, which we are going to read the last part of, and then the second chapter, and after the first number of verses in the third chapter, the first 20 verses, we read in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If we take that whole message, as God gives it to us, describing ourselves, describing himself, describing Christ, the Savior of sinners, then we must say, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." Let's read them as we have them in the last part of this first chapter of Paul's epistle to the church at Rome. Begin to read at verse 24. Reading to the end of the chapter, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." What a picture of ourselves. But it is a picture of those for whom Christ came to die, if we recognize it, if we submit to it, if we repent of it, and we flee not only from the wrath to come, but flee to him who bore the wrath of God. Let's come before God in and through the name of Christ Jesus, his Son, our Savior. Our Father, we give thanks that we can come to thee, calling thee Father, because we have been adopted into thy family, for those of us who are believers have been taken out of Satan's family, have been taken out of darkness and brought into the marvelous light of Christ. We give thanks, Father, for that great blessing. We give thanks for Thy grace, and that we can say, as Paul wrote to another church, "By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We pray, Father, also that we might see that when we are new creatures in Christ, that we will be and are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we not only have forgiveness of sins past, but that we walk in newness of life. We pray that Thou would use these words to make us to see the vileness of sin, the awfulness of it in Thy sight, and that it might become that in our own sight as well, as it is a sin against Thee, a sin against our neighbor, and a sin against ourselves. We pray, Father, that Thou would give the blessing that is so much needed in every part of the world and in all of our society, in the church, in the home, in the schools, in government, and throughout all of the world. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We continue looking at these words as Paul gave them, showing, as we read earlier in the former studies, verse 18 of this same chapter, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In whatever degree we know of the truth, we sadly, in the beginning, do hold it in unrighteousness. We all fulfill what we read from the third chapter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We not only are told that in a general sense, we are told it also in a very particular way, as we read that description in this last part of this first chapter. We saw some of that in the last 2 weeks. The sin of the woman changing their natural use into that which is against nature, and men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, doing these evil things. Doing them because we are sinners. Doing them, as James tells us, James chapter 1, verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Yes, death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. How thankful we can be when God has told us the wages of sin is death, that He has also told us, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But we cannot just take our attention from what we read here to that. We must come in the way of repentance. We must come in the way of acknowledgement. As the Lord Jesus said when He was here on earth, He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He stated, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Do you know that you are sick in sin? Do you know that to the extent that you must have the great physician to save you? Have you ever learned that? I'm afraid there are many who are on the church rolls, many who are active members in church, that have never really learned that they were sinners, as we read here. Just think of that. Filled with envy, covetous, murder, debate, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's a catalog of our sins, yours and mine. It is true of every one of us. If we continue to look at this word, this first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, we see where Paul comes to the conclusion that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So don't have the fond hope that as we read these words, you are thinking of someone else, that you are thinking of this person or that person or this group or that group that may be guilty of these things. It is true that in outward ways, some people are more guilty than others. But where there are those less guilty in outward ways, we can probably be more guilty in the heart, more guilty as the Pharisees were, of whom the Lord Jesus said they were whited sepulchers. They had these sins as well, but they had that terrible sin of pride. They did not know their sin before God. They would not submit to His Word, and in not submitting to that Word that described them in their sin, they did not submit to God's way of righteousness, which He gives in Christ. And though I do not want to minimize this by speaking of the gospel, yet I want to have you know that there is a gospel. There is a message of good news to those who believe this is true of you. If you really believe this and look at it and stand aghast, as it were, trembling, fearful, then there will be good news from God for you. Not that this isn't true. Not that you will not be punished if you continue in this without repentance and without a Savior. You will be. Listen again to those last words. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We must bring both the law and the gospel. John Bunyan wrote in his book on Law and Grace, "The man that does not know the law does not know sin, and the man that does not know sin cannot know the Savior." They come together. God gives all of that message in His Word. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word." He spoke of himself as bringing the whole counsel of God. We have in Romans the wonderful message of justification by faith. But we have in Romans as well the very vivid description of those who need to be justified, those who are guilty, those who need a pardon from God. And here is the reason why. Listen to verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness." And we can go on, but just think of those first. All unrighteousness. All sin is unrighteousness, and all unrighteousness is sin. It comes short of God's way. God is our Creator. God has a right to give the laws in the land. And God gives laws that are, as Paul also writes in this epistle in the 7th chapter, those that are holy and just and good. The problem is not with the Word of God. That continues to be and always will be wonderful words of life. That's why He gave them. We are not standing here, for most of us, on the day of judgment. It is true that some of us may die and experience what God said is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But that's not why I'm reading this word. I'm reading it so that you can escape the judgment of God, and you can begin to honor God. You can begin a new life, different than what you are described as being right here. But you must acknowledge it. Repentance is agreeing with God, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. That's a picture of you and me. That's the way we live. That's our natural self. Listen to what Paul states further in this epistle, in the 8th chapter. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you have not experienced the new birth, if you have not experienced conversion and salvation, then you are in the flesh. Then you have the natural mind. You are still in nature and by nature dead in sins and trespasses. Paul makes that very clear when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Though he described them as God's people, they were in the church, but he said, you who were dead, hath he quickened. That's where God begins with every one of us. And he doesn't only begin with his Spirit and give us that wonderful blessing in grace, but he begins with his Word. As it were, he takes our picture and he shows it to us. This is your picture and mine. Christ had to go to the cross with those pictures of you and me. And God had to look on them. And God had to look on Christ through them. And that's why he hung there, because of your picture and mine. He was nailed to the cross, certainly by men. But it was, as Peter states in Acts chapter 2, according to the determinate counsel of God. And here's the reason. Because God saw those that Christ would die for as filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. All of these sins, if we think of that one that's mentioned next, without natural affection, has there ever been a time in the history of the world where mothers wanted the right to kill their own children, to kill the unborn, and politicians flaunt it as if to say, we are for the rights of women. We want to give them the right to kill. We want to give them the right to pour out the blood of their innocent children. We want them to be without natural affection. And I've seen it, and I've seen the debates between our presidential candidates. And those who do not want this are taunted as if to say, will you give women their rights? Will you allow women to be murderers? Will you allow doctors to be murderers? Will you allow nurses to be murderers? As if those politicians aren't right when they want to stop that. And I'll grant you, we can't stop it from government. We can only stop it by the preaching of the Word. It can only be stopped when we stop our fornication, when we stop our adultery, when we stop being without natural affection, when we recognize that this is a terrible sin against the holy God, our Creator, and we get our eyes open and as well our hearts to the Word of God, that we have the blessing, as we read in the book of Luke or the book of Acts that Luke wrote, when Paul preached and Lydia was there before him, we read he opened Lydia's heart. Has your heart ever been opened that this message from God's Word can enter in and you say of yourself, I am that sinner? And as we said in the last message, that we come to the place where we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. like the publican did, and we say like David did, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. There's no use saying that if we don't know we are filthy, if we don't know that we are having our sins as crimson. As Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. We like to have them white. But do we believe they're crimson? Do we believe that they are in that way before God? And woe unto us if the first time we come to know that, the first time we come to believe that, will be on the judgment day. It will be too late. That's why these are wonderful words of life. So you can believe them now and you can escape the wrath to come. It is as Paul or as John wrote, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It is true that it is worse in some places than others. There is more abortion and murder and fornication and adultery in some places than others. But it's literally everywhere. There is none that doeth good. Every nation. Every family. Every individual is here described. And again, think of that next chapter. If we don't believe that, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's how God sees us. All of us, each one of us, we must come to see that we are hell-deserving sinners. Why should we have to escape hell if we don't deserve it? Then God would be wrong. He wouldn't be just in sending us to hell if we didn't deserve it. He wouldn't only be unmerciful, he would be unjust. But God is just. He has a hell that is just like our sin. And we will go there if we don't learn that these things are true of us. And we will go there if we do not repent of these things and then flee to Christ. And oh, how thankful I am that I can tell you once more those wonderful words as we read them earlier. But now the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, when we see what sinners we are, God points us to Christ and says, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Join us next week.